You're listening to the Family Podcast from PursueGod.org.
Well, parents, today we are concluding our series on biblical parenting. We've talked about the concept of really raising your kids to own your biblical values, not to just be renters of them while they're in your home. Last time we talked about the four parenting styles and that we really want to move towards a more authoritative blend between being a disciplinarian in love, but also a person that connects and listens to their kids and their needs. Now, today, we thought it would be interesting to talk about this concept of gentle parenting, which is honestly something I only heard it for the first time a year ago. It might be for two reasons. One, my kids aren't young. And two, I'm not very active on social media. But for the 30-something crowd and in our church and in our parenting small group, this came up. And so we've been doing some research on it. We want to talk about how does gentle parenting fit into the other parenting styles we talked about last time. But most importantly, how does it measure up to biblical principles on how we should be as parents? So interestingly, the concept kind of started in the 1920s with Dr. Alfred Adler, who kind of was the first psychiatrist to start studying how to teach kids more through respect and empathy, and that if you encourage kids and they feel good about themselves, they're going to make good, positive choices and be productive members of society. If they're mistreated, if they're not valued or heard, then they're likely going to be discouraged, and then they're going to make bad choices in their life. That concept then was built on, and then the 1980s, Dr. Jane Nelson wrote a book called Positive Discipline. Positive parenting was kind of the concept. And then I guess in recent years, Sarah Ockwell Smith kind of popularized the term gentle parenting with her book. So that's kind of the initial background of it. But the basic premise are there are four core principles that they talk about in gentle parenting. So I'm going to highlight those first. And then we're going to compare it to just biblical principles and how it measures up. So some of the core things of gentle parenting are it's about connection over control. So that's about discipline, right? So last time we talked about more of the authoritarian style of discipline is that it's, you know, I tell you what to do, my way goes, you just obey. There's not very much connection there. So gentle parenting would say it's more about the connection than control. It's more about getting at the eye level with your kids, making an emotional connection with them. That's going to be the better recipe than control through discipline. The second core tenet is about empathy and emotional awareness, that they really encourage parents, like, understand your kids, validate their emotions, understand their emotions, and talk to your kids about how their behavior positively or negatively affects you. And that through that, they kind of learn how emotional intelligence and self-regulation, that it's more about empathizing with their feelings, meeting them at their level, talking about their emotions, and even talking about your emotions. The third tenet, core tenet, is more about positive discipline. I'm not sure I exactly understand this, except to say that gentle parenting is not about punitive things. I mean, they would say, from some of the research I did, that discipline in general, that if you want your kids to behave a certain way, that, you know, bribing them, so to speak, with a reward or sending them to their room or giving them a spank or a timeout or something as a negative discipline, they would say neither of those are good. That you should speak to them at their level and find a way to maybe give them a different choice the next time. So it's not a negative discipline. It's more of a positive discipline. Again, I may not be explaining that very clearly. The fourth thing is that respect for autonomy. Gentle parenting really puts an emphasis on that children should be respected. They are autonomous. They are their own person. And that as an adult, sometimes we can treat kids and just kind of treat them like, you have no idea what you're doing. I don't care about your thoughts or feelings. Just do as I say. And so gentle parenting would say respect their autonomy, their choices, and you're working to foster a sense of independence. Okay, and then the last one is the importance of parents modeling the desired behavior, which that makes sense. So generally speaking, gentle parenting is definitely more about emotional connection, empathy. It's less about negative discipline or control. Okay, so There's certainly a lot of things here that I would say yes and amen. And there's a lot of things about gentle parenting that I feel like fits into the authoritative style of parenting that we talked about last time. Again, go review that if you need to, or if you haven't listened to that podcast. So I feel like there's a lot of great things in here, but with any form of parenting style, if you go too far one way, there can be some negative consequence to that. So like we talked about last time, if you're authoritarian, where it's just all about discipline and obedience, then you're losing the opportunity to really understand the heart of your child. And then it just becomes, they just obey because they're afraid of the punishment, but they're not really taking in the values you're trying to teach them. And those aren't penetrating their heart because it's just fear of control. So I can totally see how gentle parenting, there's some definite benefit to that by kind of correcting or bringing into balance a more authoritarian. I also see that they're trying to say, it's not that you don't have boundaries for your kids. It's just the approach of a gentle parenting might be different than, certainly different than an authoritarian, but even they, I read some articles that are like, this isn't permissive parenting. It's not that you don't have expectations of your kids. It's all just a matter of how you come at them. So again, I can totally see how gentle parenting, a lot of the principles tie in with the more authoritative approach that we talked about last time. So, but most importantly, I think there are some underlying principles to gentle parenting that I think don't line up biblically. And so I want to explore that for a few minutes, because to me, one of the things is the understanding of gentle parenting, especially talking about kind of the autonomy of kids and really honoring their emotions, is that it's assuming that your kids' emotions are coming from a good heart. In fact, some of the articles I read is that some of the psychologists that promote this would say that we are inherently good, that kids are inherently good. And so it's environmental factors that bring out negative behavior. Well, scripturally, biblically, that's absolutely not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says that we are born with a sinful nature, that none of us are good on our own, that only through Jesus are we made right. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Proverbs 22:15 says, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. So that's my first struggle with gentle parenting in its core, is that kids are not inherently good. I mean, you can just watch a kid. I never had to teach my kids when they were toddlers that to be selfish. They were naturally selfish. I had to teach them to share. I had to teach them to be like, no, when you take the toy from your sibling and they're sad, like that's from a mean spirit. That's from a selfish perspective. So to me, right from the beginning, the problem with gentle parenting is that our kids are not inherently good. We have to train them to understand selflessness and kindness and understanding how their actions have positive and negative impact on other people. So that would be my first thing. I would just say we have to be careful with gentle parenting, that we don't assume or give value to our kids' emotions like it's coming from a good place. And it's coming from a place of sin, because that's what the Bible says. We're all broken. That's how we all start. It's only through Jesus giving us a new heart that we're able to reflect more of his character and not our sinful nature. Okay, so the second premise then about this autonomy versus submission, like the gentle parenting really puts an emphasis on your kids are separate from you. They have their own emotions, thoughts, and decision-making, and you should promote that. And again, I agree, like that's part of the principles of what we talk about in all of our parenting resources, is the idea of you training your kids, and as they get older, they get to more and more independence. They become more and more owners of those values as you give them the ability to make those decisions. But that happens over many years and as they grow. So I'm not going to give my four-year-old the autonomy to make a good choice of their own without understanding the rules that they submit to in our home. And so again, we see biblically, I mean, that's not how God operates with us. I mean, he certainly does not force things upon us, but the Bible is clear, like even within the Ten Commandments, there are rules that we follow that set up how society should function. And the first four of those are about how we interact with God. And then the others are about how we interact with one another. And so one of the things that we talk about is kids should obey their parents. Ephesians 6:1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. So there's this idea, biblically speaking, that we are not just don't tell me what to do kind of people. Like, God gives us rules and boundaries that we live under, and then parents are tasked with giving their kids rules and boundaries so that they grow to learn the importance of obedience, first to your parents, but then ultimately to God. That's what part of what parents are training is that ultimately we want our kids to understand that obeying mom and dad is ultimately obeying God. Because parents are acting under the authority of God, giving them the blessing of children and the responsibility to train and to raise them. So this idea then of emphasizing too much on autonomy and kids shouldn't have to submit to your rules or your ways, they can make their own decisions, I just feel like is a dangerous concept that I don't think practically works out. Because again, like we talked about last time in permissive parenting, if you don't give your kids boundaries or consequences when they break them, then they're going to go to school and they're going to butt up against the boundaries and rules of a classroom and a teacher that's going to give them a consequence. They're going to eventually get a job someday where it's going to be like, yeah, no, you don't get to just show up whenever you want. You come to work at a certain time and you get things done. And if you don't, you're punished. So I just feel like that's part of what a parent's job, our God-given responsibility, is to train our kids to understand what right and wrong, good and bad is, so that when they go out into the world, they're not confronted with, oh, well, I didn't know there were rules or that there were expectations of me. I just kind of do things my own way. So I feel like we need to be training our kids along in that as they go. And I'm sorry, but for me, I was not going to give my 5-year-old son the autonomy to make choices about if he was going to get up to go to school on time. You know, it's like, of course, on his own, he was going to say, I don't want to do that. I want to sleep in. So as a parent, I had to say, nope, we're going to get up at this time and this is what we're going to do. Now, I will say in the gentle parenting, a lot of the reading that I did, that what they would say is, well, you would prepare your kid in advance. If there's certain expectations you have, you'd say, okay, buddy, we have to be out the door at 8:15 a.m. So that means you need to have brushed your teeth, eaten breakfast, gotten your clothes on, have your backpack by the door, because this is the time we're leaving. And if we don't hit that mark, then there'll be a consequence for that. So the more you can do to tell your kids in advance, like what the expectation is, the better. Now, I totally agree with that. I certainly do not agree that we should set our kids up for failure by having expectations that they don't understand. And I think as parents, it's better for us to put expectations out there to our kids so that we don't overreact in a situation and yell and scream because the kids weren't ready at 8:15. Well, maybe they didn't know that that was the mark that we were trying to hit. So I do totally agree that you should invite your kids into the expectation realm and to say, and to give them some autonomy to say, okay, buddy, I'm going to go get ready. You have 10 minutes. I'm going to set the timer. You need to be standing by the door. I can get on board with something like that, but I'm not on board with just emphasizing total autonomy and that we should respect our kids' feelings and the way they want to do it or the decisions that they want to make. They need us to instruct and shape. Okay, and then the last thing really is just hitting on the discipline piece. And again, I don't fully understand what gentle parenting would mean on the positive discipline, but what I do understand is that they would say that, you know, yelling, screaming, negative response is not the way to nurture the heart of your child. And I guess, again, what I would say is we clearly see in the Bible that God uses discipline, things that are not fun in the moment, to train and to teach. You know, we've talked about this before. Proverbs 13:24 says, whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. So I totally agree that we do not punish in anger or are abusive in that at all. The point of it is that our God-given responsibility is to train, and part of the training is that there are negative consequences for bad behavior and that we're careful in how we discipline them. We don't do that without being loving or caring. But sometimes discipline hurts, and that's the way we learn. And God says that himself, like sometimes it's not fun in the moment, but it's for our good. Now, this is an interesting quote that I found from the Gospel Coalition. It says, we shouldn't throw out the idea, basically to set up the context, we shouldn't throw out all discipline because there can be a misuse of discipline. So here's what it says, but misuse of discipline shouldn't prevent right use. So for example, the presence of some dangerous drivers on the road shouldn't put a stop to all driving, and the existence of some abusive parents shouldn't stop other parents from using punishment rightly. So I totally agree that punishment should be done from a place of self-control from the parent, that you are doing it with a strategy in mind, that it is the right response for the right violation of the rule, and that you do it from a place of love to teach and to train. And I guess that's just what I would say about gentle parenting, is it seems like they really don't want to talk much or do much with discipline. And I just feel like scripturally speaking, there is a biblical mandate that we should discipline, and that discipline should hurt, in quotes, not in an abusive way, but should get our kids' attention. Like, okay, I didn't like that consequence. I'm not going to do that again. That's part of how God trains us. Proverbs 3:11-12 says, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof, for the Lord reproves him who he loves as a father, the son in whom he delights. So again, I just feel like there's just so many scriptural elements here that show that discipline is a part of the parenting process and should be done in a loving, self-controlled way. And I just would caution people using the gentle parenting that if you don't put any discipline into the parenting and you just go with trying to meet the emotional need or, you know, empathize with why your kid's throwing a temper tantrum in Target, but there's no consequence for that, there's no thing that gets their attention to say that's not appropriate behavior. It's all just about, well, why are you feeling that way, Billy? And how could we change the way you're feeling right now? Like, I'm sorry. There were just too many times for me that I could not, there were times that my kids just needed to know, like, that's inappropriate behavior. And if you don't stop that right now, there's going to be a consequence. And that's how my kids, I feel like I saw great fruit come from, I'm calmly saying to you, this is not right. And if you don't stop right now, there's going to be a consequence that my kids learned over time that they would rather avoid that negative discipline. And it shaped them to have more self-control and emotional regulation. So that's kind of in a nutshell, this concept of gentle parenting. And again, like I said, there are some great concepts to it about being compassionate and empathetic. I absolutely agree with that. I agree that each kid has a little heart and a personality that you need to meet, and that any form of discipline you use should be about correction and training and should be for their benefit, because that's how God works with us. But I don't agree that we should view our kids like they're just perfect little angels and we should listen to them and their emotional response to things. Like, that's okay. They're an autonomous little person and they can feel what they want to feel. Like, as parents, we have a responsibility to train and to teach and to model what Christ-like behavior looks like. So I'm all about being gracious as a parent, but I just feel like the gentle parenting can go way too far to the gentle side. And in fact, what they say is there really isn't enough research yet to know if this form of parenting style, how it works in the end. There just isn't enough research. It's too new of an idea. So I'm sure there's going to be some benefits, but I think there's going to be some negative things as well, because like I said, I don't feel like it reflects biblical values, that we are inherently bad. So I don't agree that we should just let our kids feel and say and do whatever they want to do. And I believe that discipline, having negative consequences, is part of what shapes us, because that's how God works with us. So those are my thoughts on that. I'd love to hear some of your thoughts on it too. And again, I'm not the expert on gentle parenting. So I'm sure there's some things that maybe some of you that have done more research on it or more familiar with it might say, well, you misrepresented that. And so I apologize in advance. But to me, I just kind of wanted to give an overview of it, that even though it sounds really great, just be cautious and aware of what some of those underlying assumptions might be and the impact that it could have on your kiddos. So talk about this in your parenting small group with your spouse, with some of your friends, and just make sure that your view of parenting and your strategy lines up with what the Bible has to say.
Thanks for listening. If you haven't already, please consider rating our podcast. It's a simple way to help us reach more people. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.